RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Acting governor to seek benefits from Jakarta special stages. Social media content can threaten unity. President Joko Widodo says, Indonesian religious minister expects to see no more clerics rejection in regions. Now the news in detail. Acting Jakarta Governor Sumarsono on Sunday, January 15, the administration will propose amendments to the 2009 law on Jakarta special stages as the capital, seeking more funding and benefits from the central government. Sumarsono, who has taken on the role temporarily as Basuki Cahayapurnama conducts a re-election campaign, made the comments after a meeting on a tour train from Jakarta to Yogyakarta, which was attended by the city's agency chiefs. The special statuses are followed with special funds from the central government since their special status have been specifically defined in the law, Sumarsono said. Yogyakarta received around 853 billion rupiah or $64.6 million in the 2017 budget from the central government for its special stages, which acknowledges the Ngai Yogyakarta Hadiningrat monarchy as part of local government. Papua and Aceh were also granted 11.5 trillion rupiah and 8 trillion rupiah respectively for its autonomy stages, which see special rights in judicial system and profit sharing from the resources. Sumarsono said, assistance funds from the central government will help the city to improve infrastructure, including bus terminals, roads, and port. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has warned that social media has content that could threaten the unity of the nation. President Joko Widodo said when addressing the 18th anniversary of the Indonesian Unity and Justice Party on Sunday, January 15, in Jakarta, that he often see in social media provocative materials, hoax, slanders, and hatred which, if we are not careful, could divide the nation. He asserted that the threat must be continually observed. Former President Megawati Sukarnoputri, PKPI Advisory Board Chairman Tri Sutrisno, PKPI General Chairman A.M. Hendro Priyono, a number of cabinet ministers and heads of state institutions also attended the function. President Joko Widodo mentioned that as a nation, the Indonesian people are lucky and should be grateful for having the Pancasila ideology. Because with Pancasila, Indonesia can detect and measure a culture that is incompatible with the ideology such as acts of radicalism and terrorism which can divide the nation. Those incompatible ideologies may come from provocative materials, hoax, slanders, and hatred in social media. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said that rejection of clerics in regions can spark tensions. Minister Lukman said on Sunday, January 15, in Jakarta, that constant rejections among people, due to differences, can divide and weaken the nation. The minister made this statement following recent rejection of the Indonesian Ulama Council Deputy Secretary General in West Kalimantan. Therefore, Minister Lukman has called on all parties to respect diversity among people to maintain national unity. According to Minister Lukman, the Founding Fathers have inherited Indonesia as a religious and peaceful country. Therefore, Indonesians should help maintain and develop the teachings considering the country's diverse culture. The minister said that the nation is facing the challenge of maintaining unity in the globalization and digitalized era. Globalization has removed traditional boundaries where people become global citizens. Meanwhile, digital era has changed people's life, even their views and values. Minister Lukman Saifuddin said that people should be more careful with the use of information technology. Riau Islands police have named 5 suspects in a veiled attempt to send 196 illegal workers from Indonesia to Malaysia. Riau Police Detective Unit Chief Sujen Commissioner Eko Puji Nugroho, escorted by Antara News Agency on Sunday, January 15, said in Batam that the police have 5 suspects so far. The police are continuing their investigation into the case to uncover the network behind the transportation of illegal workers from Batam. The police have found 22 workers at Hang Nadim International Airport, 74 at a shop house at Gloria View Batam Center, and another 101 at a shop house at Wally Park Batam Center. The workers were from East Java, Madura, West Nusa Tenggara, and West Java. The police also seized dozens of ID card, passport, cell phones, air tickets, and boarding passes. Currently, all workers have been taken to a shelter belonging to the Batam Social Agency in Nongsa, Batam, before they are sent home to their respective villages. An economist, Samuel Sekuritas Indonesia, expects rupiah to continue strengthening despite concerns ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration. Samuel Sekuritas Indonesia economist Rangga Cipta noted on Monday, January 16, that in global market, U.S. dollar correction continued at the end of last week, even after the release of positive data in the U.S. ahead of Trump's inauguration on Friday nights this week. Moreover, the U.S. dollar's index decline may be avoided as the sterling weakens, which is caused by concerns that Prime Minister Theresa May indicate hard Brexit in tomorrow's speech. Meanwhile, rupiah weakened in Friday's trade, as with majority of Asian currencies having previously enjoyed the effects of weakening dollar in the global market. There is still room for rupiah strengthening despite concerns in the build-up of Trump's inauguration this week, which can create high volatility with a weakening bias. On January 16, the market awaits Indonesia's December 2016 trade balance, which is expected to post $600 million surplus. Also expected this week is Bank Indonesia Board of Governors meeting, which is not expected to issue adjustment to BI reverse repo rate. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia was among 70 countries that attended the International Peace Conference in Paris on Sunday, January 15. The Indonesian delegation was led by Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fahir, who used the opportunity to state Indonesia's support for a two-state solution to end the Palestine-Israel conflict and realize peace in the Middle East. Fahir said the Palestine-Israel conflict has gone on too long and it's time for the international community to take concrete steps to realize peace in the Middle East through a two-state solution. Fahir stressed that peace in the Middle East can only be achieved if the core problems illegal state settlement, Palestinian refugees, the Jerusalem city-state, border stages, security and water are addressed effectively. Fahir also said that the Indonesian government welcomes the adoption of the United Nations Security Council's Resolution 2334 on illegal Israeli settlements in Palestine. Fahir added that Indonesia's position in this issue adheres to its constitution and is part of President Joko Widodo's priority programs. Indonesia will always help the people of Palestine with political and humanitarian support, as well as capacity building. Humanitarian organizations in Indonesia also regularly send food, clothes, medicines, humanitarian workers to Palestine, and have even built a fully functional hospital in the Gaza Strip to help the Palestinians. The last item. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has officially launched a ministerial decree which allows private companies to develop their own electricity grids that are separate from state-owned electricity firm PLN. On Monday, January 16th, Energy and Mineral Resources Deputy Minister Archandra Tahar introduced Ministerial Decree No. 38-2016 that was aimed to help expedite electricity development in 2,500 remote villages across the nation. He said at the Ministry's Electricity Directorate General headquarters in Jakarta that is an innovation from the government to provide a legal basis that will allow for fairer energy procurement and to increase the ratio of villages with electricity in Indonesia, which has only reached 96.95% out of a total 83,190 villages. Private investors must focus on procuring electricity through a hybrid power system supported by both renewable energy sources and conventional fossil fuels. A hybrid power system combines two or more modes of electricity production, usually involving at least one renewable energy source to ensure the villages can maintain power 24 hours a day. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Acting governor to seek benefits from Jakarta special stages. Social media content can threaten unity, President Joko Widodo says. Indonesian religious minister expects to see no more clerics rejection in regions. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Indonesia-Japan Relations. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a piece of Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at the Presidential Palace in Bogor West, Java on Sunday afternoon. Indonesia became the first country visited by Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in 2017. During his visit to Indonesia, the Prime Minister discussed economic cooperation and various issues including maritime sector and political issues. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has visited Indonesia several times since his appointment as Prime Minister of Japan, namely in 2007 and 2013 during the administration of the then President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. This reflects good and important bilateral relations between the two countries. Although the history records grim story of Japanese colonial rule in Indonesia, this time the two countries had been fostering friendly relations very closely based on cooperation and exchange in various fields such as politics, economy, culture, and so on. Bilateral relations between the two countries was opened on January 20, 1958, with the signing of the peace treaty between Japan and the Republic of Indonesia. In the same year, the two countries also signed the booty call agreement, while the opening of flights between Japan and Indonesia began in 1963. Economic cooperation between Indonesia and Japan shows an increasing trend from year to year. In 2016, trade between the two countries reached $23.82 billion. Japanese investment in Indonesia during 2016 reached nearly $4.5 billion, an increase nearly double from the previous year. In addition, the number of Japanese tourists to Indonesia in 2016 also showed a positive trend, with the number of Japanese tourists visiting Indonesia reaching more than 474,000 people. In cultural field, it is not a secret that in Indonesia, there are a lot of young Indonesians who are really fond of Japanese culture. One aspect that has played a quite good role in Indonesia is the presence of Japanese comics, manga, among Indonesian people. Conversely, Indonesian arts are also much favored among the Japanese people. Today, Indonesian traditional art studios are booming in Japan. Some Japanese people also like to sing Indonesian songs. The export value of handicraft products from Indonesia to Japan also continues to rise. This shows that the Indonesian art products with unique designs made of good quality material had been accepted by the Japanese consumers. Hopefully, the visit of Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to Indonesia on January 15th and 16th, 2017 could increase cooperation in various fields and can be beneficial for the two countries. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, it's nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History over our rival service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from Japan on January 16, 1947, when Vincent Auriol was chosen as French president. Vincent Auriol was chosen as French president on 6th of January 1947 and officiated until 16th January 1954. Auriol was born in 1884 in Reval, France, and began his career as a lawyer. Auriol was a member of Socialist Party and established social newspaper in 1908. He became candidate in general election in 1914. A year later, he was chosen as a mayor of Lausanne. His career had been more increased since he was chosen as French Minister of Finance. One of his policies, which was well known, was his action to front currency devaluate by 30% against the US dollar in September 1936, giving rise to capital flight and economic uncertainties in France. Vincent Auriol died in 1966. The next event was in 1991, Operation Desert Storm was announced by the US government. After the Gulf War that caused invasion of Iraq took place in August 1990, the United Nations UN dropped economic embargo to Iraq, while Kuwait asked aid from the US to help liberate his country. The UN diplomatic mission was conducted to end the invasion of Iraq to Kuwait, but the demand of the UN for Iraq to withdraw their troops from Kuwait was rejected by the Saddam Hussein regime. Finally, US President George W. Bush was permitted to declare war by the US Congress on January 12, 1991, and was followed by the Operation Desert Storm on January 16, 1991. One day after the operation announcement, the initial attack began on January 17, 1991 at 3 o'clock a.m. local time in Baghdad, with a massive air attack over Baghdad and several other regions of Iraq. On February 27, 1991, the coalition troops successfully liberated Kuwait and President Bush declared the end of the war. And the last event was in 1979, Shah Pahlavi left Iran. Because Iranian people resistance against the country's ruling regime was mounting, Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the last king of Iran, finally decided to leave Iran with a reason for medical treatment. On 16 January 1979, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi ascended the throne in 1944 after his father, Shah Reza Pahlavi, was exiled by Allied forces due to his support to Germany in the World War II. In 1954, Shah Pahlavi had gone out of Iran due to mounting popular resistance against him. But 3 days later, he succeeded to regain his throne in a coup against the government of Mossadegh, elected by the people of Iran. The coup was backed by the United States, so that infiltration in the government of Shah Pahlavi became very large. The government of Shah, which supported an extension of American interest in Iran, made the people of this country regain its footing again. The Shah's regime, led by Imam Khomeini. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, this is our arrival service, the Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesia and South Korea strengthen bilateral relations. House Speaker of Indonesian House of the Representatives DPR Setia Novanto welcomed the visit of his counterpart South Korean Parliament Speaker Chung Se-kyun to the Indonesian Parliament Building in Jakarta on last Tuesday, January 12, 2017. The visit has significant effort in improving bilateral relations between Indonesia and South Korea. Wherever Indonesia and South Korea had signed a joint declaration on strategic partnership in 2006 to improve economic, trade and political relations between both countries. Previously, South Korean Parliament Speaker Chung Se-kyun also met President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo asked the South Korean Parliament to help improve the cooperation between the two countries in various fields, especially in trade and investments. Speaker Setia Novanto explained that mutual visit of high officials of both countries, such as the visit of President Joko Widodo to Korea in May 2016 and the visit of President Park Geun-hye in 2013, is a proof of the good relations between the two countries. For Indonesia, South Korea is an important partner in economic and trade. However, the trade between the two countries has been declining in recent years. Setia Novanto hopes developed trade in the future can be improved again. Indonesia and South Korea can complement each other in advancing economic relations and trade between them. Setia Novanto also expects the value of South Korean investment in Indonesia can be increased. Meanwhile, he hopes the investment of South Korean large companies in Indonesia, such as POSCO, Hankook Tire, and Samsung, because those companies contribute to the advancement and economic development of Indonesia. Setia Novanto asserted Indonesia and South Korea also need to improve cooperation in creating regional security and stability. Indonesia invites countries in the region to seriously utilize regional forums, such as ASEAN Regional Forum, ARF, to find peace solutions on security issues, including the Korean Peninsula. Relations between the Parliament and National Assembly of those countries certainly also need to be improved. To the end, the Indonesian Parliament has established bilateral cooperation group with the Parliament of the Republic of Korea as part of efforts to support the strengthening of cooperation and friendship between the two countries. On the other hand, Deputy Chairman of the People's Consular Assembly, Hidayat Nur Wahid, asked South Korea to take care of Indonesian workforce in the country, particularly relative to their safety and welfare. Hidayat Nur Wahid said that their welfare is one of the key factors in maintaining good relations between the two countries. Additionally, South Korea is also asked to provide broader quota of jobs for the workers from Indonesia. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Acting Jakarta Governor Sumarsono on Sunday, January 15, said the administration will propose amendment to the 2009 law on Jakarta's special status as the capital, seeking more funding and benefits from the central government. Sumarsono, who has taken on the role temporarily as Basuki Cahayapurnama conducts a re-election campaign, made the comments after a meeting on a tour train from Jakarta to Yogyakarta, which was attended by the city's agency chiefs. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has warned that social media has content that could threaten the unity of the nation. President Joko Widodo said when addressing the 18th anniversary of the Indonesian Unity and Justice Party on Sunday in Jakarta, said that he often see in social media provocative materials, hoax, slanders and hatred which could divide the nation. He asserted that the threat must be continually observed. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said that rejection of clerics in regions can spark tensions. Minister Lukman said on Sunday in Jakarta that constant rejection among people due to differences can divide and weaken the nation. The minister made the statement following recent rejection of the Indonesian Ulama Council Deputy Secretary General in West Kalimantan. Riau Islands police have named five suspects in a foiled attempt to send 196 illegal workers from Indonesia to Malaysia. Riau Police Detective Unit Chief Sergeant Commissioner Eko Pujinugroho, escorted by Antara News Agency, said in Batam that the police have five suspects so far. The police are continuing their investigation into the case to uncover the network behind the transportation of illegal workers from Batam. An economist, Samuel Sekuritas Indonesia, expects rupiah to continue strengthening despite concerns ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration. Samuel Sekuritas Indonesia economist Rangga Cipta noted on Monday, January 16, that in global market, U.S. dollar correction continued at the end of last week, even after the release of positive data in the U.S. ahead of the Trump's inauguration on Friday night this week. Indonesia was among 70 countries that attended the International Peace Conference in Paris on Sunday, January 15. The Indonesian delegation was led by Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fahir, who used the opportunity to state Indonesia's support for a two-state solution to end the Palestine-Israel conflict and realize peace in the Middle East. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has officially launched a ministerial decree which allows private companies to develop their own electricity grids that are separate from state-owned electricity firm PLN. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment touring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Uncal, a tour transportation from Bogor, West Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, at the turn of the year 2016 to 2017, Bogor launches Uncal. Uncal is a mansion for transportation which is used by tourists to go around Bogor city in every weekend. Tour bus, which is named with the name of Deer, is actually an acronym of Unforgettable City Tour at Lovable City. Listeners, Uncal is an icon of Bogor Palace, where at one of areas of the presidential palace, the Uncal can wander freely. Suitable with its name, this blue bus has head deer design on the side of the bus. The bus, which can accommodate 25 persons, is completed with speaker to give information to the passengers. For tourists who want to ride Uncal, they must register and wait at the departure point, namely at Botani Square. The uniqueness of the bus is klakson, which has tolele-lole tone, is now going global. Listen. listeners, Uncal Tour Bus is not double deck one because of considering of topography and weather of Bogor City, which is frequent raining and lightning, and also many trees along the road. Uncal Bus is made without wall so that passengers can see surrounding areas when the bus runs around Bogor City. Besides, while taking picture around Bogor City, passengers also listen to the tour guide who explains histories of the roads at the area. Bogor has fresh air, so visitors will feel comfortable. Listeners, if you are in Bogor, please try to ride Uncal Tour Bus. While enjoying the beauty of Bogor City, you can also get knowledge and history, especially history of the Dutch colonial. In the Dutch time, Bogor was well known with the name Buitenzorg. Uncal Tour Bus will operate on weekends. On Saturday, it operates twice and on Sunday, three times a day. Listeners, if you are tired around Bogor City by using Uncal Tour Bus, you can enjoy Bogor typical foods which are delicious. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian World for today featuring Uncal, a tour bus in Bogor, West Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Menjaga Keponakan Laki-Laki, which in English means taking care of nephew. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Menjaga, menjaga in English, to take care of. Keponakan laki-laki, keponakan laki-laki in English, nephew. Pulang kantor, pulang kantor. Office break. Mengundang, mengundang. To invite. Tamu, tamu. Guest. Makan, makan. To eat. Di rumah kamu, di rumah kamu. At your house. Tetapi, tetapi. But. Menginap, menginap. To spend the night or to stay. Anak, anak. Child. Adik perempuan. Younger sister. Mengapa, mengapa. Why. Besok, besok. Tomorrow. Hari libur, hari libur. Holiday. Karena, karena. In English, because. Ibu, ibu. Mother. Harus, harus. Must or should be. Keluar kota. Keluar kota. In English, outside the town. Ayah. Ayah. Father. Tugas belajar. Tugas belajar. To study. Pulang kampung. Pulang kampung. To go back home. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjaga Keponakan Laki-Laki, or in English means Taking Care of Nephew, Part 1. The conversation is between A. Ani and B. Anna at the office. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Ani. Anna, bagaimana kalau pulang kantor kita ke supermarket? Anna, bagaimana kalau pulang kantor kita ke supermarket? In English, Anna, why don't we go to supermarket after the office break? Saya mau membeli makanan kecil. Saya mau membeli makanan kecil. In English, I want to buy snacks. B. Anna, apakah kamu mau mengundang tamu makan siang di rumah kamu? Apakah kamu mau mengundang tamu makan siang di rumah kamu? In English, do you want to invite guests to lunch at your house? A. Ani, tidak. Tetapi, dua keponakan laki-laki saya akan menginap di rumah saya. Tidak, tetapi dua keponakan laki-laki saya akan menginap di rumah saya. In English, no, but my nephews will spend the night at my house. Mereka adalah anak-anak adik perempuan saya. Mereka adalah anak-anak adik perempuan saya. In English, they are children of my younger sister. Anna, mengapa mereka menginap di rumah kamu? Mengapa mereka menginap di rumah kamu? In English, why do they want to spend the night at your house? Bukankah besok bukan hari libur? Bukankah besok bukan hari libur? In English, tomorrow is not holiday, is it? A. Ani, mereka menginap di rumah saya karena ibunya harus pergi keluar kota. Mereka menginap di rumah saya karena ibunya harus pergi keluar kota. In English, they want to stay at my house because their mother has to go outside the town. B. Anna, apakah ayahnya juga tidak ada di rumah? Apakah ayahnya juga tidak ada di rumah? In English, is their father also not at home? A. Ani, ayahnya sedang tugas belajar di Filipina. Ayahnya sedang tugas belajar di Filipina. In English, their father is studying in the Philippines. Selain itu, yang menjaga mereka juga sedang pulang kampung. Selain itu, yang menjaga mereka juga sedang pulang kampung. In English, while the servant who takes care of them is also going home. B. Anna, baiklah, baiklah. In English, all right. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to Indonesian top keroncong singer, Waljina. Let's listen to the first song entitled Kalung Mutiara by Waljina and maestro of Indonesian keroncong, Gesang. Happy listening.
Tiada kukira begini akhir nasibku. Putuskan sudah tali pengikat dia berjanji setia padaku, namun akhirnya kini tinggalkan diriku.
Terima di masa lalu, membawa kisah selama hidupku. Tiada tiada kukira begini akhir nasibku, putuskan sudah tali pengikat cintaku.
dia berjanji setia padaku. Namun akhirnya kini tinggalkan diriku.
Lalu mutiara yang kuterima di masa lalu membawa kisah.
Kalu Mutiara is a song that tells about sad end love story. The couple lover who love each other should eventually split up because of different nations. The song is dedicated very well by Waljina and Gesang, the Kroncong Maestro. Besides the Kroncong song, Waljina also brought the song in Javanese version. Listener, Waljina, a woman who was born in Solo, Central Java in 1945, accepted the nickname the Queen of Kroncong. She started her career in the music industry in 1945 after winning the first place in the Indonesia Radio Singing Contest, or Bintang Radio, in 1965. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Meratap Hati by Waljina. Happy listening. The song tells about sadness of a man who was abandoned by his lover. In 2015, while Jinnah got an Indonesian Music Award, or AMI 2015, she received an award in the category of Best Female Solo Singer in the song Ayong Guyu. Moreover, the song is contained in the album The Best While Jinnah Keroncong, also won the award for the Best Record Producer and Manager on behalf of Bintang Nusantara Orchestra. Listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Keroncong Moritzko and Keroncong Harapan Jumpa by Waljina. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Jika lalu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.